So this morning we talked briefly about adoption, our adoption as children of God. We talked about what we can determine in our heart to do. Get that on for you. And once we've got the understanding in our minds that we are loved by God enough to receive the kind of gift that He offers us through His Son, once we have determined in our heart that we are going to press forward and do the things that we know that we need to do, then we are left with where we're at right now. And the reasons why we may not have done or have struggles to do the things that we know we need to do, barriers that we have in front of us to finding our role, both as Christians and individuals, but also finding our role in a congregation. Because I think that often we have a real desire to help and participate, but we run into a couple of things that derail our attempts to not just exist as members of Coburg Road, but be involved and thrive and help this church to grow. So I want to look at a couple of those things tonight and how God, through the Bible, addresses them. And the first one we'll call analysis paralysis. We see it a lot in board games. You've got a board in front of you. You've got a hand of a dozen cards in front of you, and the options seem limitless. What is the best possible move that I can make right now with these cards and this board? I have friends that I don't play games with anymore because it takes them so long to figure out exactly what the optimum thing for them to do every single turn is. And a game that says on the box that it takes 20 to 30 minutes takes 2 hours, and suddenly my evening has been slowed to a crawl. It's seen in Netflix. Misty and I spend probably an equivalent amount of time searching through Netflix to find what it is that we'd like to watch as we do actually watching anything that we'd like to watch. We have so many channels on TV. We have so many movies that we can see. We have so many options available to us at any given time that sometimes that variety in front of us can actually cause us to struggle to figure out exactly what it is that we know we should be doing. There are so many restaurants to eat at. If there were only two, I would just pick the one that I liked the most. But when there's 400, well, which one of the Thai restaurants do I like the most? And which one's closest to me now? Do I like that one? How is their special on Sunday afternoon? We also see it in our church life with a few possible outcomes. There is so much to do, and I think that we would all agree, looking at a congregation, there is so much that we could be doing. And sometimes there's just so much to do that I don't know where to start, and so I'll just wait. I'll just wait and see if I'm inspired to go one way or the other, or if I can take some time and just figure it out, because there's so much going on. Or maybe there's so much to do and there's so many people that are probably already doing it. It's probably already covered. I won't even worry about it. They're probably doing a better job of it than I would anyway. Or there's so little that I'm good at. I'm not very talented, so I'll just not do anything because I'll just bungle it up if I get involved. Or there's just so little that I'm interested in. I'll just do the thing that everyone else is already doing, and I'll just join them in that because then at least I know that I'm with people that I like. There is a lot to do. But I think if we look at a couple passages of Scripture, we can find exactly what God wants us to do in this situation. Let's turn over to Exodus chapter 25. In Exodus chapter 25, we see the beginnings of the makings of the tabernacle. In verse 23 of Exodus 25, God says, "You shall make a table of acacia wood. 2 cubits shall be its length, 1 cubit its breadth, and 1.5 cubits its height. You shall overlay it with pure gold and make a molding of gold around it. And you shall make a rim around it, 1 hand breadth wide, and a molding of gold around the rim. And you shall make for it 4 rings of gold and fasten the rings to the 4 corners of its 4 legs. Close to the frame the rings shall lie as holders for the poles to carry the table. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold, and the table shall be carried with these. And you shall make its plates and dishes for incense, and its flagons and bowls for which to pour drink offerings. You shall make them of pure gold, and you shall set the bread of the presence on the table before me regularly." That is such a specific thing for God to request, and such a specific thing for God to require. How on earth is anybody going to be able to fulfill all of those things exactly and consistently every single time? And the next several chapters of Exodus are filled with more things that are even more specific. The colors of thread, the kinds of thread that are to be used in every single thing. And it would be really easy as an Israelite to look at that list and say, there's a lot to do. I am actually, I don't know if you know this, terrible at gold craft, and I don't even know the difference between acacia and oak. How am I even going to begin to do all of this? Well, a couple chapters later in Exodus chapter 31, in verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, "See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, with ability and intelligence, with knowledge and all craftsmanship, to devise artistic designs, to work in gold, silver, and bronze, in cutting stones for setting, and in carving wood to work in every craft. And behold, I have appointed with him Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. And I have given to all able men ability that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, and the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is on it, and all the furnishings of the tent, the table and its utensils, and the pure lampstand with all its utensils, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offering with all its utensils, and the basin and its stand, and the finely worked garments, the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons for their services as priests, and the anointing oil, and the fragrant incense for the holy place. According to all that I have commanded you, they shall do." God gave incredibly specific commands. Do this, 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 and this, and this way, this way, this way, this way, this way, with these things and these amounts, and do not deviate from my plan. And I have given these specific people exactly the skills and gifts that are needed to accomplish every single thing. And there are people for every single task so that everything gets done according to the way that I want it done. And we look at that and say, that is fantastic. If God could just let us know which person at Cobra Grove is to do which thing, just like he did here, we would really super appreciate it. The unfortunate thing is, again, unless this only doesn't happen to me, God hasn't probably spoken to any of you directly to tell you exactly what your role is here at Cobra Grove. Well, luckily we've got other things that we can do. Look at Nehemiah chapter 2. So Nehemiah is coming back to inspect Jerusalem's walls, to take assessment of what's going on, and to rebuild them. Nehemiah comes out, figures out that there are specific places where there are weaknesses in the walls, and what Nehemiah says is, okay, you fix the wall that's right around your house, and you fix the wall that's right around your house, and you guys help them fix the wall, and then fix the wall on a little bit farther out on each side of your place. And if we all do this, then the wall will get fixed. See, Nehemiah knew that, like God, everybody needs to be assigned a role and have a task and know what it is that they're doing and know that they are uniquely qualified to do that thing. I am going to fix the wall by my house the best that that wall can possibly be fixed, because I definitely do not want that part of the wall breached by an enemy. So how does this work in the New Testament? Look at what we read earlier in Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 11, God gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there are people that God specifically designed to equip you so that you can do the thing that God specifically designed you to do. Now, just put a little pin in that idea in your mind. We're going to come back to it in a second. We're going to spend just a minute talking about address. About a month ago, maybe 2 months ago, online, there was a picture of a dress that started floating all over the place. And it was a dress that was blue and black stripes. Except that about half of the people that looked at the dress thought that it was white and gold. It was obviously blue and black. But the way that the light hit it, and the way that people's eyes work, turns out they're all different. Half the people genuinely believed that that was a white and gold dress, while the other half, which turned out to be the correct half, thought that it was blue and black. Perception is an amazingly powerful thing. And I think that sometimes it may not be that we don't know what it is that we can do or what it is that we're supposed to do, but it may be our poor perception of ourselves and our own gifts and our own talents that prevents us from moving forward and becoming involved and committed to the work here. Because think about it. How does your perception of yourself impact your ability to fulfill your role at Cobra Grove? And then, is that perception of yourself accurate? Or is it a white gold perception of an ability that's actually blue and black? Let's look at a couple passages. Turn over to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Not a whole lot that is left out of all things. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. I can think of and ask a lot. A lot. I have a very powerful imagination. God can do abundantly more than even that. How about Romans chapter 12? Starting in verse 4. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. And as long as we're doing that, we might as well go over to its
sister passage in 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4 as well. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. God made you valuable. God made you valuable. And not only did God make you valuable, God made you valuable for this group of Christians that meets here in this place now. Now, you might not agree with or love where the elders feel like you would fit best and fill a need. Or you may not love the way that somebody thinks that you could best assist them. But a lot of people thought that a blue and black dress was white and gold. You have abilities and talents gifted to you by the Creator of the universe. And you're here right now. That is not an accident. Your gifts and your abilities gifted to you by the Creator are needed right here and right now. Now, you may not think that they are the greatest gifts. You may not love the way that God decided to bless you with abilities. But He did. He did. So we have two ideas here. That sometimes there's just so much to do that we can't possibly figure out what it is that we're going to do. But if we look in the Bible, it seems like it's pretty specific that God assigns people or to either do the thing or people to figure out who's going to do the thing. And then it seems pretty clear from the New Testament that God gave you specific abilities. Whether you think you have really great abilities or not, God gave them to you. So we've got a leadership given a task by God to get a job done, and a group of people given abilities by God to get that job done. It seems like a perfect plan. Like God knew what He was doing all along. But there's one last barrier to figuring out what it is that we need to be doing, and I know I said that we'd only do two, but it's a bonus one that I knew I was going to do all along, but I fooled you. And that third one is the yes, but barrier. Because so often, and this is so frustrating to hear, you say, yeah, everybody's got specific jobs and talents, so you can do this, and you can do this, and you can do this, and you can do this. Yes, but blank is really everybody's job. Yes, but evangelism is everybody's job. Yes, but everybody should be being hospitable. And eventually we have so many of these yes, but blank is everybody's job that eventually everything is everybody's job, and we're back to the beginning where no one is doing anything because they feel like everything in the church is their job. And everything in the church is probably not your job. There are a lot of things I am super terrible at that I shouldn't be a part of because there are other people that God gifted in that specific way to do that thing really well.
There are absolutely commands in Scripture for us to do a lot of things. But don't not do the thing that you're really good at because you think you're supposed to be doing everything. Remember Exodus and remember Nehemiah. Everybody did their part and the whole task was accomplished. So I want you to really think, what is it, or what things are they that you bring to Coburg Road? I'll tell you one thing that you bring that nobody else brings, and that is the people that you are around every day. I can guarantee you I am not around any of the same people that you're around on a daily basis. Only you are. That's pretty important. You might be in the place that you're at, in the circle of people that you're in the neighborhood that you're in the job that you're in, because God needs to make a connection with somebody that's around you, and you're that person. No one else here has that, unless there's a bunch of you that work together in the same place and live in the same neighborhood that I don't know about. Who are you around that no one else is around? What can you do that no one else can do? Are you really, really good at being generous? Be super generous. Are you really, really good at being hospitable? Be really hospitable. Be sacrificially hospitable. Are you really good at singing alto? Sing alto loud. And don't think because you think that the thing that you're doing is a small thing that it's not valuable to this group. If you weren't here, this group would be less. They would miss you. So think about it. And as the elders come to you and say, hey, we would really like you to maybe try this. We think you'd be great at that. Rather than having the instant response that we usually have, which is, probably, I'm pretty busy right now with a lot of other things. Maybe just say, you know what? Yeah, I will do that thing that you've asked me to do. I would love to host that person for dinner. I would love to call that person and see what's going on with them. I would love to go out for coffee with this person that seems to be hurting. Maybe you're really good at talking to people who are hurting, and you just never knew it, but other people can see it. Maybe you're amazing at listening, and you've always thought that was kind of lame, because listening doesn't seem like a strength or a skill that's valuable. That's a strength that's super valuable. Don't undervalue the things that God has blessed you with in talents and abilities. God made you that way. And God doesn't make mistakes. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for who you are. Thank you for the example that you give to us through your word of how we can be and how we can live. Thank you for the examples that you've given us throughout history of men and women who have stood up and done the right thing, who have determined in their heart what was right and have followed through with it, who have not diminished the skills and the abilities that you gave them, Father, but worked wholeheartedly for you. And God, thank you most of all for adopting us as your children. We so badly needed that. And we didn't even know it. But you did, and you planned for that, and you gave us a way out of the predicament that we all found ourselves in. And Father, it is so wonderful to be free of the bondage of sin. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that guides us and helps us. And God, please bless us as we strive to do exactly what it is that we need to be doing. As we strive to become more committed and more involved in the local work here. And as we work out, Father, encouraging and building each other up so that we can all be in heaven one day with you. We love you and we want to be with you. Please send your son quickly. And it is in his name that we pray. Amen. I told Larry on the phone yesterday, when you go to a congregation like we go to that doesn't have services on Sunday night, you never get to preach a Sunday night sermon. This is the first Sunday night sermon I've preached in like 7 years. So thank you for that opportunity. For no other reason, it was wonderful to come here just to be able to talk to you on Sunday night. But that's not why I came. I didn't just come for the opportunity to speak to you on Sunday night. I came for the opportunity to share the gospel with you. And if that is not something that you have taken advantage of, if you have been hearing the gospel preached to you time and time again for weeks and weeks and months and years, or for the first time recently, please stop listening to that invitation and not acting. Take advantage of the thing that God worked so hard and paid so much to give you. And if you have been undervaluing both your own gifts that God gave you and the gifts that he gave you of his son, and haven't been living a life that was a life that showed that you value it, stop doing that too. Stop doing that.